Well, here we are, folks. Last couple hours of a great week. I don't know about you, but I've definitely got a blessing. I've got some notes. In fact, I've got some MP3s coming my way so I can preach some of Brother Keck's messages at our future places. Amen. Don't think I wrote any of these, do you? I want to start off by saying thank you very much. I appreciate what this church has done for us already. I know there's prayers already gone up for us before we even got here, just from our last meeting. I'm thankful for the pastor and him considering us to come back here for this meeting. It's a big deal for me, you know. Not that I'm recognized for anything, but that I get a chance. God gives me a chance of getting in something like this. Not so much that I can get up here and shoot my mouth off. I do that at home all the time. That I can get up here and try to just deliver what God's given me to God's people. Amen? And I just know how it is when folks preach to me. And that's my goal, is to try to be a blessing to this church. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the meals. Amen? I'm glad I'm a Baptist. You know, I tell folks this, when we eat like that, that's just a dress rehearsal for the marriage supper anyway. Just getting prepped up. And I like it. And so we're going to get into some preaching here. Enough of this stuff. Take your Bible, turn to Jonah chapter 1. I'm a missionary. Therefore, I must have a missions message. And this ain't it. But Jonah's a missionary, amen. We're going to look at some things here tonight. Hopefully, there's some things that are applicable in your life that you'll do what God leads you to do and take care of business. Worst thing you can do is come to a meeting like this and get some preaching and get some Bible and get God come out there and just come all the way out there somewhere and reach down and touch your heart about something and show you something about yourself that you know is wrong, you know it's wicked, and show you something about it. You sit there just thinking, well, nobody else saw it, and take it out the door with you instead of bringing it up here on an old-fashioned altar and doing business with God. It's the worst thing that could happen this week. We got a couple hours left here. It's not too late. It's never too late with God. But I tell you what, it sure would be good if somebody here got touched by God this week somewhere and they did business with God before this thing was all over. It's worth it. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, we're going to read through here a couple verses, get into the context here. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And by the way, I want to say this about that. I mentioned the other day, missionaries go to the field not because of the need, but because of God. I don't think it's a coincidence that we were called to the field that God called us to, not so much that I seem to fit the mold and it seems to be a good thing and it looks like the things that I've already got will fit up there. I think the Lord called us up there because somebody's been praying. I think the Lord's called us up there maybe because somebody's husband is working up there. She's worried about him. I don't know what it is. I think it's something specific like that. And we're going to see on the other side what it's all about. I don't think it's any coincidence that your pastor, Brother Stevens, came to Coon Rapids at all. I think somebody was praying. Now, they may never have shadowed the door of this church, but they were praying for this area. God said, I'm going to send a man. That's the way God does it. He sees some things and he sends somebody. Verse number 3, But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he did what? He rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Okay, we'll get there in a minute. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? And what is thy occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Verse 9 he says, And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Father, it has been good this week, and I am thankful for what you've given me. God, I pray that you'd help me to just put it in the remembrance of my heart, keep my heart soft the way you like it, that you might be able to just use these things to continue to fix me and repair me, and get me closer and better for your work and what you'd have me to do. God, I pray for this church, the folks that are out here, anybody that can hear what's going on, God, I pray that you do the same for them. Do not stop troubling the waters of their heart, where they're erring, where they're going astray, that you might draw them closer to you through your love, through your mercy, and through your grace, that they might, this church might be a brighter, shining light for this area. They need to hear the gospel in this area. Pray that you do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonah here was doing something that wasn't a good thing. And unfortunately, I think that I can honestly say that everybody in this room, if you're here saved or lost, you're guilty of what Jonah was doing. He was basically running from God. At one time or another in your life, whether you were saved or lost, you're guilty. You must be guilty of running from God. Does that make sense? Now, I'm going to take you back a little bit, and I like to use some illustrations that God has actually let me have. Here's something I used to do. Before I got saved, I was a plumber. Y'all know that. But during the time of our marriage struggles, and probably one of the main reasons it got as bad as it did, I decided to get out of the plumbing industry and go into the family business, try to get into law enforcement. And a stepping stone to get in there was I needed to get a job with the county, that the county of the police department where my mom and dad worked, to hope to give me another kick up so I can get onto the department as a police officer. So I took a job as a police dispatcher. Now, let me tell you about this. It wasn't like some of these cow towns I've seen out in the country where you've got one person in there dispatching all the police that might be on the street at any given time. It's more like the police department I work for is a lot more like the Minneapolis police. What do you mean, Brother Byer? Well, the years I was working there, and this was over 10 years, probably 15 years ago, we took 1 million 911 calls a year. We had over 300,000 documented police incidents a year and over 100,000 EMS and fire incidents a year documented. The phones rang off the hook. Just in the 911 center at any given time, there was 25 call takers just answering the phone. 911, can I help you? 911, can I help you? That was all night long. Out on the floor where the police dispatchers were, I did a little bit of the 911 stuff, but mostly dispatching. There were 7 police dispatchers at one time talking on the radio. We had 7 channels just for one county. During a Friday or a Saturday night, when things get hopping, as you can probably imagine, each channel, my channel, I might have 100 police officers on duty working the streets just on my channel. So you got about 700 officers in the county, countywide, doing something. Just a bad place to be. Believe me, that was 15 years ago. It's worse now. My workstation was pretty complex. You got to be a multitasker to be able to do this stuff, to throw the stress on top of it. But basically, if you want to see what I was doing, I had some computers in front of me. I had 2 computer screens. One on the left was to basically track the officers that I had on calls or doing something. And my computer screen on the right was to track calls that were pending, things that needed to be done. Somebody wanted to report a theft. There was a car stolen, something like that. These were pending calls. On top of that, I had a keyboard just for all that stuff. Plus, I had a third computer screen monitor right above everything. And that one was so that I could run criminal history background checks. I could do, check tags to see if they were stolen or if your tags were still valid. They hadn't expired. I could do all that from that with another keyboard. On top of that, I had two telephones. One was to make confidential calls. It was on a tape line. And the other one was a personal line that I could talk to police officers on the street. On top of that, I had one of those Madonna-looking boom mic things, amen, that you wear and it goes in your ear and then it comes around like this. And that's what I used to talk to the police on the radio. On the floor, I had a foot treadle. You know, it's almost like a set of drums, what I had. I had a foot treadle. And I pushed down on that, I could talk, and I let off, I could listen. On top of that, man, what else did I have? I had all kinds of stuff. I'm just saying it was a pretty complicated thing, especially on a Friday or Saturday night. I can tell you this, on a Friday or Saturday night, there was one thing that was, it was always kind of cool, but there was one thing that we always had on the radio that kind of got everybody going, and that was we always had on Fridays and Saturday nights, you could just bank on it, you'd have up to 10 police pursuits in one night. Now, it could be a foot pursuit, it could be a high-speed pursuit in a car, but nonetheless, somebody wanted to run from the cops every Friday and every Saturday night. It was just guaranteed. One of the other things that we had to do was, especially when it got busy, this got complicated, was we had to mix our breaks in with the time that we worked. We worked for a 12-hour shift during the night. We had to take a couple hours off for lunch and break and things like that. Amen. And during that, well, sometimes my lunch break might not be scheduled till 1 a.m., but I got hungry around 7 when everybody else did. So somebody would go out and they'd get food for everybody, and we were allowed to if we were working on our radio. As long as we didn't neglect our duties, we could eat while we were working. There was no big deal. We did that all the time. And I remember this one particular night. I'm sitting there. The food come in. It was unusually quiet for a Friday night. I got my food, and it's sitting there, and I'm looking at it. Man, I'm going to get a chance to eat it before it gets cold. Praise the Lord. I didn't say praise the Lord. I wasn't saved yet. I just threw that in. And I'm glad I can say praise the Lord now. Amen. And I'm sitting there looking at that food thinking, I'm going to eat this. Well, there was a guy that was on my shift. He knew I liked hot sauce, and he brought a bottle in that night. And he come over to me, and everybody was watching. I didn't thought that was kind of weird. And he says, hey, John, you want to try some of this hot sauce? And I said, yeah, sure. And they're all looking, you know. And now, had I seen the lid of this hot sauce, I wouldn't have tried it. You see, off the lid of this hot sauce, there was a string with a skull hanging off of it. He had to sign a waiver just to get this stuff. And he comes over, you want to try this? And I said, yeah, sure, I'll try it. So I took this hot sauce, and I'm not kidding you folks, I just put a drop, just a little spot on the tip of my finger, and I touched it on the tip of my tongue, and as soon as my finger touched my tongue, instantly, my whole head just caught on fire. I'm sitting there going, everybody thought that was the funniest thing. Look at Johnny, he's going to die, call 911, you know. They thought that was the funniest thing, boy. I didn't. It was painful. I'm sitting there going, and I don't have anything to drink, you know. I'm just looking for some kind of relief. About the time that I touched a finger on my tongue like that, some police officer clicked up on the radio and he goes like this, 3 King 2, I got one running. Oh, man, I got a chase. Now I got to click into action, but I could not talk. And everybody's still laughing at me. Three King Two. I got one running. 3 King 9. Where's he at? And everybody started shouting on the radio, and I can't say a word. Finally, I went over and I unplugged my headphones, and it went out on the radio, and everybody could hear what was going on. They knew what was going on then. We got it under control. Thankfully, nobody got hurt. That was one of those nights that somebody took off running. So we're going to look at some things here. Kind of run together with my experiences as a police dispatcher and Jonah's experience here as a man just running from God. And I've heard some don't run advice. Now I'm going to tell you tonight, you know what I'm going to tell you? Here's the theme, don't run. Okay? That's the theme, but there is some bad don't run advice out there. Have you ever heard that don't run advice? If you're in an alley or you're in a yard somewhere and a big dog comes up and he's drool running out and everything, they say, now don't run because they got a chase instinct. You ever heard that one? Move away slow. Let me tell you, they've got a greater instinct than a chase instinct, and it's called a bite instinct. And I'm going to tell you right now, you better run. Just run as hard as you can. We were just up in Canada, you know, and I know you got them around here somewhere. But I've heard the same thing about bear. You come across a bear out in the woods, don't run, just lay there and play dead. Let me warn you, you lay there and play dead, you'll be dead. Just run. Just run. And I've been criticized on this, but whatever. If you're out there in the woods with somebody else, right, and there's a bear, you kick the guy, knock him down, then you take off running. Hopefully it gets full on that guy. No, don't do that. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. If you're offended, I'm sorry. Oh, I've been criticized on that one before. Folks, we had a thing called 911. It made me remember some days back when I was a kid in elementary school. If y'all went to public school, you know what I'm talking about. But once a month, we had a fire drill. And I can still hear those teachers today saying, now don't run, don't run. Can you imagine if those folks in 911 up on the 100-something floor trying to get out of there and there's some old school teacher in the stairway, now don't run, don't run. Some folks might not have got out of there if they didn't run. There is going to be some times to run. My Bible says to flee youthful lust. Sometimes you got to run. But when it's God, you don't want to run. So let's take a look at this. Let's go into... I want to tell you a little bit of some of the things that happened that I noticed when I was a police dispatcher. One of the things that I noticed that always happened is we had a police chase. Somebody would click up on the radio. Let's say it was a high-speed pursuit. And it never failed. The one police officer would click up and everybody else would say, where's he at? Where's he at? And it didn't take long. I mean, they were all on this thing like hornets chasing something. But the one police officer that originally called out with it, his responsibility was to do nothing but to tactfully stay behind the vehicle that they're pursuing. Just stay behind it. That's all his job. Once somebody got behind him, he didn't say another word. All he did was concentrate on the road and watch this guy to try to stay behind him so he couldn't get away. The number two guy, though, he had a very key position in the chase in that even though he wasn't right on the guy, his job was to mark the locations of where they were at any given time. He basically would click up on the radio and say, I'm at Brooks and King. I'm at King and Jones. I'm at Jones and Fifth. And he would do that, and I would document that so we could track this thing. We'd literally look at a map and go, they're going here, they're going here, they're going here, they're going here. And that's what we did. Another thing that number two guy would do was every time that the pursuit vehicle would bounce off a parked car or take out a mailbox or something like that, he'd give the location. It's called a signal 9 for an accident. He'd say, Signal 9, Brooks and Brown, or something like that, and I'd put it in there. You say, well, why'd you put that in there? Well, because I knew we'd have to go back later and write a report for, you know, damage to some property or something like that. But it never failed that every time that I had a chase on the radio, that something always got damaged. Every time. I don't know a single 13-year-old car thief out there that can drive without bouncing off everything going down the street like we used to have. And I want to say the first thing I want you to see here is whenever somebody ran from the law, it always cost somebody something. It always did. You say, well, I've never had anybody hit my car. Well, do you have State Farm insurance? Believe you me, if that car that's running from the cops, if he hit into somebody that had State Farm insurance and you do too, guess what? You're going to pay just like that guy's going to pay. They're going to adjust everybody's rates. It's going to cost. Every time somebody ran from the law, it always cost somebody something. Take a look at our text, verse number 5. The Bible says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them." The mariners were fearing for their life. They thought if they threw their money overboard, their paycheck overboard, at least they could save their life. You say, well, why were they doing it? What did they do wrong? They didn't do nothing. It was Jonah. They were just bystanders. But because one man was running from God, it cost these mariners a paycheck, big time. I have seen this since I've been saved, and believe me, I have just a gleaning of the experience that your pastor and Brother Keck have in the ministry. But I've seen some things. And you know what I've seen? I've seen in churches, when it gets hot, when the pressure's coming down, when some major decisions have to be made or some things have to be adjusted because they're just kind of got off track, some folks start running from God instead of letting God deal with them. And it always costs. I've seen several building programs. I can probably think of three building programs today that I know that are in the middle of themselves. Something always happens. The devil knows how to do it. He's got good timing. He stirred up a couple families and they just took off after the financial decisions were made. It's cost some people some things. You say, well, God's got money. You know, He can backfill that thing. He has a cattle on 1,000 hills and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but He uses us as good stewards. And if we're running from God, we're taking His money with us. Boy, there's not a hallelujah in that one, was there? It is what it is, folks. It always costs. Second thing I want you to see here is every time that I had a police chase, never failed. Every time that I had a police chase. Remember I told you about I had these two monitor screens, these two computer screens that I had. One of them on the left was basically telling me where my police officers were. Or were supposed to be when they weren't at the donut shop, you know. And then on the other screen was a screen with calls that were pending. Now they could be anything from writing a theft from auto report all the way up to a violent domestic or a robbery or something pretty critical. But they were always prioritized on my screen. But whenever I had a chase, that stuff just sat. Why? Because the officer that was in the pursuit, his safety was far and above worth more than anything else than I could have on my screen. Did you know that when a police officer is in a chase or they're in some kind of an incident like that, that it doesn't matter if there's a domestic at your house or the neighbor's dog come over and did something in your lawn or if a bank's getting robbed, when they're on the main thing right here, as long as its priority is higher than everything else, and believe me, when an officer's life is in danger, whenever there's that kind of a thing, it trumps everything on the board. But when it's like that, everything else gets pushed off to the side. Every time. I just had to let it sit. It just sat on the side. Did you know this? That when somebody runs from God, other responsibilities are always neglected. Responsibilities. I can't tell you, well, I could be a while, but I can't tell you in just a little while here, the vast barren wasteland that's just north of the United States. I can't describe it to you. In fact, I thought I had it figured out until we traveled from coast to coast just in the last few months. What an open mission field Canada is today. I've been on the road for, my family and I have been on the road for 21 months. We've been in 100, my wife filled me in today, 151 churches. I've made thousands of phone calls to pastors to try to get meetings, try to get support. And more time than once, a bunch of times. I've called a pastor, and the pastor said, "Oh, you're going to Canada. We've already got a missionary in Canada. Thanks for calling." Click. One guy reaching 35 million people. Amen. It ain't going to work. Canada is just as valid of a mission field, if not more so, than the Philippines or China or Mexico. Remember, we don't go to the mission field because of the need, even though God's really showed me something in Canada, but we go there because of God. And I believe, this is just me thinking out loud, outside the box, and there's nobody here guilty of it. I just want you to be conscious of this. I believe that there's probably some folks that have been called to places like Canada. A pastor or somebody or just a person has said, "Canada, they're just like us. What do we need somebody up there for?" Let me tell you, they ain't just like us. And if God's calling anybody here to go to a foreign mission field, and Canada's a foreign mission field just like Mexico and Tijuana and Africa and South America, if God's calling you to go someplace, you keep moving ahead till God takes that peace away from you. Don't let a man do it. Don't let me do it. God forbid that I'd say something to misdirect somebody from what God's called them to do. The worst thing you could do is run from God's calling, because responsibilities will be neglected. You know, when somebody starts running from God in church, and let's say just this church, for example, and like Pastor said, I don't know nothing. But if somebody from this church runs from God, you know what he's got to do? He's got to stop his focus on whatever God's got him doing at that moment to redirect his attention to what's going on over here. Now, that's what he's here for. But too many times, especially if you have more than one folks running from God, you got the pastor stretching thinner and thinner. There's another one. And here's another guy. And thinner and thinner and thinner. You know, a pastor's job is not to, "Okay, you stay right here and you stay right here." It's to just keep the sheep together. But when everybody's running out this direction and that direction, it wears it thin. And other responsibilities get neglected. Are we okay? Okay. Third thing I want you to see here is, we didn't get to that one. Look at verses number 6 and 7. The Bible says, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not.' And they said, every one to his fellows, 'Come, let's batten down the hatches and pull in the mizzen match and take care of all the responsibilities we're supposed to do on a ship during a storm.'" Is that what it says? No, it says, "Let's go roll some dice and figure this thing out. Hopefully the ship won't get broken up while we neglect what we're supposed to be doing." A lot of churches get broken up because they have to neglect what they're doing because somebody's running from God. Third thing I want you to see here is, every time that I had a police incident, a chase, somebody's running from the law, they're running from the cops, I had one thing that I always did. It was instinctive. We had so many of them. I turn around and I look at my sergeant, the guy that was the commission officer in the room, and I'd say, "Hey, Sarge, I got one running." And he'd listen to where we were at. He'd pick up the red phone, which took it over to the EMS side, the fire and EMS. And he'd say, hey, Steve, we got a high-speed pursuit. It's in this location. You may want to listen up. And you got any paramedics available?" You know why I always told him and he told them is because it never failed. 100% of the time, if we had a pursuit, and it didn't matter if it was a high-speed pursuit in a car or if it was a foot pursuit, it didn't matter. Every single time that we had somebody running from the law, somebody always got hurt. It never failed. I mean, I can't tell you the times. You know, they sent out one ambulance, we need two more. I can't tell you the times that these teenagers in the county where we're from, they would just go steal a car and rip down the road 100 miles an hour through a red light and T-bone somebody and kill everybody. They'd pop out of the car and run off. But somebody always got hurt. On the rare occasion when somebody ran from the law, a police officer got hurt. The law got hurt. But it's very rare. Once in a while, somebody did. But for the most part, the people they got hurt the most were just innocent bystanders. And we had to make sure that when we were chasing somebody that we could back it up with a paramedic to get there as soon as possible to try to get things cleaned up. Take a look at our passage. Look at number 14. The Bible says, "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging." In this, for instance, right here, guess who got hurt? Jonah. The Bible says he died out of the belly of hell, cried I. He not only got swallowed up by that whale, but it says that he went down. And boy, if he'd have just done what God was telling him to do in the first place, wouldn't it have been a little bit better? Amen? I wonder how many men, how many women have been raked through the coals when they didn't have to. They'd have just done what God told them to do. I wonder about that. I wonder how many folks have gotten hurt, innocent bystanders, because somebody was running from God. I've seen folks run from God. We've seen some things, and I've seen a church split before where you've got one or two families that are running from God. And you know what they usually do? This is what they'll do. Now, folks, if this ever happens, you just turn a deaf ear to this thing. But they'll say, "Pastor, you know, God's just calling us out of here. We're just going to mosey on out of here, and, you know, just... we're just going to cut our ties and we're just going to make a clean break. You know, we're just going to go on out the door." And they'll get on out the door, but they won't go too far. And somebody that saw but wasn't so sure what was going on will come down the street and get an earful of what this person thought. Next thing you know, you've got somebody else running with them. Every time somebody runs from God, it's almost guaranteed that they want somebody to run with them. There's security in numbers. And we've seen it in our home church, unfortunately, where over a third of the church walked out the door, but not once, one at a time, very systematically. Slowly but surely pulled them out. Guess who got hurt? The kids. "Mom, why do we got to leave? You know, well, just because, you know, God's moving us." "Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense." It doesn't. Do you believe that when you're saved, you're in the body of Christ? And if you're in the body of Christ, you know why we call each other brother and sister? Because we're in one family, the family of God. Amen. And I mentioned this the other night, that if you want to see some sparks fly, all you got to do is have a family reunion. Yeah. All you got to do is go for Thanksgiving dinner somewhere. All you got to do is just get everybody together. And I promise you this, that everybody in here doesn't think the same way on every single thing. Amen? In fact, I can guarantee you this, with the exception of maybe me and Pastor Keck, that you guys don't line up with God perfectly either. So why don't you get right? So what are you going to do if you don't line up with God? You just going to bail on Him too? You going to strike up a fight with Him? Because you don't line up with Him, this flesh won't let you. You know what God did for me? God said, "You don't line up with me. You rejected my son. And when you die, I'm going to send you to hell. And you know what he could have done? He could have hit that smite button on me and sent me straight to hell just like that. And guess what? I'd have deserved it. So would you. But he looked down on me and said, but you know what? You're not perfect like me. And you're just an idiot, actually. And so, you know what I think I'll do? I'm going to extend some grace on you, John. Besides, your wife still loves you. Don't know why, but she does, and she's praying for you. And you know what? I think if I extend some grace on you, I might get a blessing. So I'm just going to put it off. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. There's some times when you need to deal with stuff, and you need to deal with it expediently. That's not what I'm talking about. But every time that I offended God, He didn't just come down here and crush me like a bug. He said, I'll give Him one more day. I'll give Him one more day. I'll extend that. Now, all my sins weren't forgiven, but in a sense, He was forgiving me every single time by not killing me. Do you know that your brother or sister in Christ might not have the best use of the tongue sometimes when they're trying to talk to you? And things might not just come out exactly like they wanted it to come out, and it just kind of, it just falls out like that sometimes. And you go, man, I can't believe he said that. Good night. What are they talking about? Do you hear what he said about me? He's probably thinking about you too. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we do or say things that we don't even know what we're saying. And you know, sometimes it hits us wrong and there's something, little booger man hanging out by our ear saying, I can't believe he said that. Try to get you all stirred up. You know what I've taught myself? I've had to condition myself. I've had to die to this. When I'm driving down the road, just like it happens often, and somebody pulls up behind me and sees some, if you died right now, would you be in heaven or hell, and some scripture on the window, and they come up next to me and they tell me I'm number one, but they don't use this finger, you know, and they're cussing me out and screeching and hollering and everything. You know what I have to tell myself? I wonder what that guy's going through. I mean, my truck's big, man. I can just go, poof, man, there's poof in the woods. Nobody'd know nothing. But I got to tell myself, I wonder what he's going through. That guy needs something. He needs Jesus Christ. If I don't know this guy and I'd give him that much grace, why wouldn't I give you this much grace? Why wouldn't you give each other that much grace? You know, people are weird. Everybody but me is weird. Don't talk to my wife about that. She'll tell you I'm weird, but she doesn't know what she's talking about. She's with you guys. Just get over it. You say, well, they're really rude and... Man, I can tell you some stories. But I do know this, that if you guys are here tonight, you're not here because you're trying to shift the gear and get up another notch to get a little higher up, higher rank. You know why you're here? You know why you've been here Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night? You know why the folks that have been here for the whole thing, I'm just talking to that group or everybody that's been here as much as they could, you know why you've come? The same reason the guy next to you has come. He wants something from God. But he may not need or want the same thing you do. Grace. Grace. Whenever somebody runs from God, they get hurt. Don't let your emotions control your flesh. It'll mess you up every single time. Lastly, I want you to see this. We had a lot of pursuits. You know, it amazes me today the amount of stolen vehicles that happen in the county where we're from. Today, I can tell you right now, they probably have about 10 stolen vehicles today in just that county. Every single day. 300 cars a month. What's that? 3,600 cars stolen a year. Can you imagine? Probably going on up here, I don't know. But you know who's doing it? It's not the chop shops. And it's not some radical conspiracy that's out there stealing cars so he can use them for different motives or other crimes. You know who's stealing the cars in the county that we're from and probably up here too? It's the teenagers. The teenagers. So how do you know, Brother Byron? Because they stole my truck when I was back there. I'm not kidding you. Out of my father-in-law's driveway on a Friday night, they used a screwdriver and got into my 2004 Dodge Ram 1500 with a Hemi. It was a nice truck, too. And they got in there and snapped the ignition off and stole it on a Friday night, Saturday afternoon. The police in Washington, D.C. called me up and said they had my truck. I said, well, did they strip it? He said, nope, they wrecked it. They did $13,000 worth of damage to that truck in less than 2 days. What'd they steal it for? Just a joyride. Why do they run from the police when they're driving stolen cars? Because it's fun. You know why they run? Because they're not afraid. Take a look at our passage here, verse number 16. All this stuff happened. They saw God's hand move. They threw the offender out of the boat. He gets swallowed up by a whale. In verse number 16, these lost heathen, it says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. An ingredient was installed there. These guys got it, but Jonah didn't get it. Did you know that that teenagers today have no regard, and I'm not talking about here, but I'm talking about the folks that are in the area where I'm from, they have no regard for the law. They have no regard for the consequences and what they do. They are no less afraid of going to jail than they are of having their head blown off. These kids are brazen. There used to be, I remember, and they probably still got them now until people realize how stupid they look with them on their vehicles, but they used to have these stickers on the back and it said, no fear. Stupid. What does the Bible say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They're stupid. I'm not saying it because I think they are, because if they don't have any fear, and they definitely don't fear God, the Bible says there's no wisdom. They're stupid. Do you know that if God asks you, He doesn't ask you, but when He tells you to do something, when He puts His finger on something in your life and He says, do this, and you don't, that's disobedience. We talked about that this morning. Did you know this, and I believe this wholeheartedly with my kids? That if I tell my kids to go and do something, take the trash out, and they sit there, okay, twiddle their thumbs. Did you know that delayed obedience is disobedience? Amen. Did you know that when God calls a man to do something and he puts it off, you say, well, he's not running anywhere. He's still at church. He's still reading his Bible every day. He's still doing devotions with his kids. He's not beating his wife or cheating on her. He's providing for the family. He's a blessing to the pastor. He's a soul winner. He's going out doing things. People can see him. He's not running from God. Did you know if God pins you down and says, look, this is what I want you to be doing right here, and you do everything but that, you're running from God. I don't see that, Brother Byer. I mean, you know, if I'm still winning people to Christ, isn't that good? Yeah. It's awesome. But that's a permissive will of God. That's not His direct will of God for your life. You know where I want to be, and I talked about it this morning or whenever. I want to be in the center of that eye. I want to. If God says, go right here, I don't want to be over here playing around. I'll be right there. Did you know that the Bible says that we are not to forsake the assembling of one another? We're not supposed to skip out on church because of a football game or because of hunting season or because of anything else other than an immediate obligation, you know. And God knows your heart, amen. But if your heart is, well, this thing here's got to happen, and you just flippantly skip out of church, God doesn't like that. You say, well, why, Brother Byer? Well, here's why. It's not because so much that you're going to miss out, but you know what? I've seen more times than not that somebody in the church misses out because you're not here. You've got some things in your life that God wants to use. And if you're not here where He can use it, somebody else misses out. Responsibilities are neglected. It costs somebody something. Somebody gets hurt. Folks, if you don't fear God tonight, maybe that's what your problem is. You remember how it was when you got saved? Pastor Keck said he didn't get saved for any other reason but other than he was going to hell. You know why I got saved? Because I was going to hell. And if you got saved for any other reason than that, I'd check it. You know what God likes to do? He likes to save people from hell. I think today what the biggest problem is Christians just don't fear God. It's too easy to run from God. It's too simple to run from God. Is my son awake? Of course not. I'm preaching. Rosalie, come here. Let me show you something. I have a great group of kids. I wouldn't trade them for none of them. Come here. Sit down. You see that? Did I have to make her come up here? Did I have to yell at her or scream her? I said, Rosalie, come on up here. I want you to sit here. I love her. She fears me. She's not afraid of me. She fears me like she should. Go sit down. Thank you. Can I tell you this much? Your God in heaven, your Father in heaven, He loves you. You know what He wants you to do? He wants you to come on over, get close to Him. But you can't do that if you're running from Him. Why are you running from Him? Because you don't fear Him. Where are you at tonight? May the pastor come up now. I want you to think about that. We've had a good meeting so far. Some issues have been hit. Some things have been brought to the surface. I haven't pinned down a lot of sins, have I? I haven't pulled out some of the pet sins that I could. I probably should. I have talked about some very specific subjects this week. Maybe one or two of you've got some issues with. Ultimately, it may come back to this. Do you fear God? Are you running from Him? Why don't we check ourselves tonight? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for just giving us a chance. God, I pray that this chance is one more chance that You've given us, Lord, that we would not reject it or turn from it or run for it anymore, but we'd submit to it and come to You. We know You love us. Pray that You'd help us to fear You and to love You just like we should our own Father. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Let's just remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for a minute as Jenny plays. I'm not going to stretch this out at this point very long. If the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, why don't you come? You can spend as much time here as you need. We'll wait on you. I'm not going to make any real long appeals at this point. look this way. We're going to take just a couple of minutes break. Kids, don't go outside and start a football game or anything like that. Use the restroom, stretch your legs, get a drink, and we're going to start services back up in just 3 or 4 minutes. So we'll be dismissed and come back in and get another go-round. Amen? All right, y'all are dismissed.